Hey, good luck, everybody. Always incredible schuss to be together. And as I say often, me talmida yosem mikula. I'm just looking around, you know. Always when I'm discussing with Julia this time in the year, Mate Shabbos starts to get a little bit later. And is it shayach? Should we still have shir at this point? Should we move it to Thursday night? And to see all the Nashim Tzikanios to come to learn Torah after a long, hopefully beautiful Shabbos. But it's Shabbos, as restful it is, it's also exhausting. You know, it's like somehow it just works that way. And it's a schus to be together. And really, Bez Hashem, we should gain a lot of chizik together. We should gain a lot of chizik and Bez Hashem take Shabbos into the week and tonight to also prepare for the Hilge Yontif. You know, one week from right now, we're going to be listening to Megillah. It's crazy. You always, Yom Tovim, like, for a while, it's like so far off, and then we're getting closer and closer, and then behind you, before you know it, you're in Yontif. So, Mir Tashem, we're looking forward to a Hilge Yontif, and hopefully a Yontif of Big Gula. A Yontif of Big Gula, the world, and we'll get to that a little bit tonight, Mir Tashem. We all feel we need Gula more than anything in any time in our life. You know, we know that there are two Adars. We're in the second Adar. And really, usually we have Zrizim Makdim and Lemitzvos. Right? Usually we try to do mitzvos as early as we can. Zrizus, if you learn Mesil Shasharim, the Yisod of all mitzvos asay. Zrizus, to do things zealously, do things quickly, efficiently. So you'd think Purim should be in the first Adar. If you have two Adars, Zrizus should be in the first Adar. The Gemara tells us we need smichas geula legeula. The geula of Purim should be next to the geula of Pesach. And therefore, it has to be close to Pesach and be in the second Adar. And hopefully that's a siman tov for each and every one of us. For geula. This is a big zman of geula. The prat u'bechlal. Many of us have geulos that we're yearning for in our own personal lives. But of course, Klal Yisrael more than ever. Eretz Yisrael with all the chayalim and all the families and everybody that we love so much and that we're davening for every single moment. So hopefully it's a big zman of gula. And looking forward to the Yontif. Obviously everyone will send that at some point during the week. Everyone's invited over Purim for a Torah, for a bracha, and Bez Hashem. It's going to be last Purim in Chutz Laaretz, Bez Hashem. Hopefully from this point on, only Shushan Purim. Bez Hashem is Baruch. So I want to prepare for Purim together. There's a medrash, a few medrashim, that are very strongly focused on the fact that Esther Amalka was an orphan. Ein lo av ve'em. Seems to be pointing this out time and time again. The medrash in Esther Rabbah, in the sixth parak, Zayin, says, Hagoyal shani atid lahamid lachem. The Redeemer that I'm going to send to you in the future, b'madai, in the story of Purim, lo yelo av veim, hadog v'ksiv kein lo av veim. That Redeemer, that Shliach, Esther Amalka, is going to have no father, no mother. Medrash seems to tell us something significant about that. It's on the pasuk when we say in Eicha, Yisoma Mayina, we were orphans, so too in the future. Esther Amalka will be an orphan. And then there's another medrash in the sixth parak of Esther Rav, in the eighth parak of Esther Rav, I'm sorry, parak Ches, talking about the tefillah that Esther davened to the Rabbeinu Shalom when she understood how serious the decree was, when she understood that she was going to be the one that was going to have to go into Achashverosh, Kasher avadati, giving up her potentially, her whole life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I want to read you the medrash. Ube'esa hi oisa Esther nivchedes ma'od, v'nei arash yotzamcha b'Yisrael. Esther was very fearful because of all the bad that was happening. There was a decree, la'ashmid la'arog la'abei, to annihilate us completely. Very difficult time in the history of the Jewish nation. She took off her royal clothing. She was put herself into sackcloth. And she let down her hair. And she filled her hair with dirt and ashes. A state of avelus, a state of mourning. She afflicted her soul with fasting. And she fell on her face and she davened. And how did she daven? Batomer, she said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God. The God of the Jewish nation. Asher Meshaltum Yimei Kedem Ubarasas Olam. You've been here the entire time. You've been here forever. You created the entire world. Azorna Amasecha. Please help your maidservant. Shenisharti Yisoma Bali of the Aim. That I myself have been left an orphan without a father or mother. Again, Esther Amalka in her own tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason is emphasizing that fact. You'd think that's unimportant at this point. You know, she's davening on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael that there's a decree, Lashmid La'Rogel La'Abe, which the Medrash says was already Nechtam Betit, was sealed in cement. Yet she's mentioning her own trials and tribulations that she has no other aim. Meshula la'aniya sho'elas mibayis l'bayis. She went through this state of impoverished state, going from house to house. Kain anochi sho'elas rachamecha mechalon l'chalon b'beis achashverosh. I'm also asking of you a mercy from one window to the next in the palace of the king. V'ato Hashem atzlichona. Hashem, now please save us. La'masecha, your maidservant, Hania, who's impoverished. V'atzilat somar isecha, and save all the sheep of the herd, meaning all of Klal Yisrael, and ha'oivim ha'elo shekamu aleinu, from these terrible enemies that have stood up against us. Ki ein lecha matzor lo shiyah barov amat. Nothing can stop you from saving us. You have the ability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ata, and you, avi yisomim. Again, emphasizing, you're the father of orphans. Amad, no, please stand up. Liyamin ha'yisoma, to the right of the orphan, meaning referring to herself again. Ha'yisoma ha'zos, asher b'chastucha b'tach b'tcha, who trusts in your kindness. V'tzna osi l'rachivim. V'ashpilu l'fnei ki atam ha'shpil ge'im. I trust in your rachim and bring mercy. And you're the one that can lower all those that are high up. You could lower Haman, lower Achashverosh, bring gula. So you see that not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I'm going to bring you the Shliach, the one who's going to bring us a Yeshua, who's an orphan, but she herself, Esther, is emphasizing that fact, that I'm an orphan and you help orphans. And then the answer, by the way, just one more medrash. Vayara l'keinu v'yachma ha'amo, Hashem saw and he had mercy on his nation. Vayifen l'tzar ha'yisoma. Again, just not... He turned to the pain of the orphan, not the pain of Esther, the pain of Yisom, Asher Betachtabo, that trusted in him. And he made that she had chen in the eyes of Achashverosh, by Yosef, Yofia, Yafia. He added more beauty, more and more beauty, that Achashverosh should find chen and beauty. Behadra, Hahadra, more just splendor, that Achashverosh should just do whatever she wants. But again, emphasizing, Letzar HaYisoma. Time and time again. Why such an emphasis on the fact that Esther was a Yisoma? It seems to be, somehow, that was the foundation that led to the Gula. That was so important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, at the beginning, it has to be someone who's a Yisoma. Ain love, aim. And Esther's pointing this out. And even in, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chod V'atmo is answering, he says, I'm going to answer you because, it seems to be because you're a Yisoma. And of course, we're taught to have a certain compassion for someone who's a Yisoma, who's a Yasom, but there's something much deeper here. And the Rebbe of Rishon explains, but I first want to explain from somewhere else. You know, who are we taught to daven from? Who teaches us? In the Gemara, it taught us all the halachos of davening, of Shemoneh Esrei. Who are we taught? Who davened? Who did we learn to daven from? Obviously, we know the different tefillos were metakin Avraham, metakin Shacharis, and Yitzchak was metakin Mincha, and Yaakov was metakin Maariv. And we see a medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu, the importance he was metakin to daven three tefillos, and we know tefillos are b'makom korbanos. But who taught us how to daven? I mean, the way that we do, our Shemoneh Esrei in silence, just us and the Rabbeinu Shalom, in such a way, quietly, and many of the halachos that we have in Shemoneh Esrei learned out from. You all know from Chana, right? When Chana was davening, And Chana davened with a lev shalem, with such kavana, with such heart, and was blessed with the son Shmuel. I've thought about that a lot in my life. Because Baruch Hashem, my Bechor is Shmuel. I really think about that a lot. About the tefillos of Chana. Tefillos of Chana. So what was, if you go through the story, Chana was davening for a long time. It was a long time she never. What suddenly changed? Why were her tefillos suddenly answered? What happened? So if you open up Shmuel Aleph and you read through the tefillos of Chana, you find one significant change in the story. I didn't bring the psukim, but look it up. She had a husband who loved her dearly. Elkanah, right? And for years, seemingly, her husband, together with her, were davening for children. And suddenly, if you read the psukim, right before Chana davens and is answered with Shmuel, right, and Eli comes and blesses her, as we all know, right before that, Elkanah comes to her, and what does he say to her for the first time that we find? He basically says to her, give up. He basically says to her, it is what it is. We tried our best, but I'll treat you incredibly, and I'm going to give you as if you had many children. Don't worry. Like, let's just live a happy life without it. So what did she see at that point? All of her tefillah suddenly changed. Meaning, until that point, yes, she was davening, and davening with an entire heart. But at the same time, she also was trusting and relying on the tefillahs of her husband, together with her. For the first time in her life, she realized that she doesn't have anyone but the Rabbeinu Shalom. That there's no one that can help her on any level but the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because even her very own husband was misyayish. Even her own, very own husband was saying, it's okay, we're good to go, don't. She said, her tefillahs were a different tefillah. Her tefillah was in a way where she looked up to the Rabbeinu Shalom and said, my father, all I have is you. There's nobody that can help me but you. And that's when her tefillahs were answered. When the Rabbeinu Shalom saw that she understood this. So those are the most special tefillahs. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for each and every one of us to feel every moment. Each and every one to feel as much as, yes, Baruch Hashem, we do have family members, and we do have friends, and we have a lot of people that we interact with, and people we could help us put in ishtadlis, and people we could reach out to for advice, and people that could help daven for us. But in the end of the day, we know with our whole heart that in the end of all ends, it only is the Rabbeinu Shalom. That whatever we have in this world is only Rabbeinu Shalom. And with all the ishtadlis, all the effort we put in, it's still only from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because Baruch Hu set up a world that he wants ishtadlis when it comes to physical means. He wants us to go to school and to get a job and to work, and that's our ishtadlis. But when we get the paycheck and we have parnasa, ultimately it's all from the Eibishter. And we have to believe that with the same emunah as if I put in no ishtadlis. And when it comes to ruchni, as it comes to all the bracha and shefa and all that we're davening for, when it comes to shiduchim, when it comes to children, when it comes to whatever that might be, we know it's all Rabbeinu Shalom. I spoke about it. I had this chus to be in Chicago last week. Very beautiful Shabbos of Chizuk in Chicago. Lel Shabbos, we had a very beautiful oneg, which was just for Nashim Sekanios. I was speaking there. That's where actually this whole shir was built out of. It was built out of a shir that I gave there. In the Mashiach home, wonderful family, if anyone knows. The Mishpach, it was so beautiful. Such a beautiful Shabbos. It's a little, this is the first medrash I quoted. Spoke about last Lel Shabbos, and then built into this entire shir. I was saying specifically, you know, Shiduchim, a lot are in the parish of Shiduchim. When it comes to Shiduchim, it's like, we have a moon in every other area of our life. It's only Shiduchim, it's like, we're melting away and yet, we've spoken about this so many times over the years. Shiduchim more than anywhere else. We've seen the Chazal. We've spoken about the Chazal. After Sheishas Me'ebresha, what are HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing all day? All day is Meshadach Shiduchim. It's the area that takes more, where our Amunah should be in any more than any other place in this world. But the emes is, we're saying tonight, and we're learning from Chana, that's what Tefillah has to be, and that's what our connection HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be. It has to be where I believe everything is from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I believe at any moment, you could be nepach miyagul in the simcha, v'nahapachu, anything in our lives. Anything in our life could turn around miyagul in the simcha. As the end of that tefillah that we read, v'ashpilu lufnei ki atom ashpil geyim. At any moment you could
take the loftiest entity and make it the lowest, or the lowest to make it the highest. Keherifayin, like the blink of an eye. We have to believe that with our whole heart and soul. That's what Chana finally was able to believe, because until then she somewhat was reliant on her husband, and now no longer. And that's when her tefillos are answered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching the same teaching everyone else. Not that we can't have other people down for us if things are going on, and not that we can't have ishtadlus, but in the end of the day, our amunah has to be, it's all Ribbono Shel Olam, it's all from above. And Rabbi Yisrael Vision explains that's to Esther Amalka. That's to Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka, there's such a strong emphasis, Ein La Av Aim, that she was an orphan. Such an emphasis that she had no parents. Because she was forced to live such a lifestyle. Not that it's something we want. We can have the same mentality with having beautiful parents, with having beautiful siblings, with having beautiful relationships. But she, and without having parents, who do I have to rely on but Avinu Shebashamayim? I understand that in a more concrete fashion. Ein lo avei means I only have Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you daven in such a way and you connect in such a way, that's going to be the one that's going to bring us geula. That's going to be the shliach, like an Esther Malka. But all of us have to be like an Esther Malka. Every single one of us, that same mentality, to know, have no one but Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you have that, it's a different life. Dorash Hashem, if you really seek the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you understand that your relationship upon Him is going to bring you everything in this world, lo yachzru chol tov. We say Tilim, do we believe in what we say? It's pasuk, Dorash Hashem, Tilim, right? Dorash Hashem, when we seek Hashem, lo yachzru chol tov. I'm not going to be lacking anything in my life that's good. I'll have everything. Habateach b'Hashem, chesed yisovenu. You really trust in Hashem, chesed, kindness is going to surround you every moment. It's going to be there. If we really do, we have to believe it with a whole heart and soul. And that's what we learned from the fact that Esther was an orphan. To know that Hashem is by our side, Hashem with us every single moment. In Purim, Purim's Gematria 336. First of all, it tells us something. If we really connect to the Yisod of Purim, which maybe this is the Yisod we're talking about, of the Yisod of Purim, of knowing Hashem is with us, Hashem is by our side, and there's nothing, no one else and nothing else to be reliant on but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first of all, that elevates and brings a simcha to every single day of the year. You know, there are 354 days in the Jewish calendar, right? Trust me. Look around, I don't know if everyone's like thinking, sure, 365, 364. We know that there are a lot less. That's why we have an Iber Shana, right? The leap year in the English calendar is one day. Our leap year is a whole month. Because every few years we have to make up and keep, otherwise, since our calendar is 11 days shorter, eventually like Pesach would be in the middle of the summer and then the middle of the winter, but Pesach has to be Ba'aviv, it has to be in the spring. So to keep all the Yom Tov in the proper place, that's why we have an Iber Shana, right? That's why we have a leap year with an extra month to keep things orderly and proper. So there are 354 days, not this year, there are more, obviously, it's a leap year. A regular year, 354 days. How many days are Yom Tov Midoraisa? 18. 18 days of Yom Tov D'Oraisa. You have 7 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres, is 8. 7 days of Pesach D'Oraisa, right? We have Yom Tov Sheni Shogolis. We have an extra day of Yom Tov in Chutzlars, but that's the D'Rabbanan. So 7 of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres is 8. 7 of Pesach is 15. 1 day Shavuos is 16. 1 day of Kippur 17. And Rosh Hashanah is considered in the Torah Yom Arichta, one long day. Even though we celebrate two, it's really, that's why we make, right? We have a new fruit on the second night. Because there's a suffix about Shachianu, because it's really one long day. 18 days. So what's 354 minus 18? 336. Exactly, Gematria Purim. Because 18 days of Yom Tov is V'samachta B'chagecha. 18 days we have Yom Tov, we have Simcha. There's 336 days that don't have Simcha, naturally, inherently. Purim's Gematria 336. Because if I connect to Purim, I can be B'simcha every single day of the year. How so? By believing like Esther did, that there's no one but the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life. And when I live with such a mindset, it's a different life. It's a different life. I walk differently. I think differently. I live differently. I have trust in Hashem. I know it's all good. Why am I being bothered? once saw a years ago story. There was a big tzaddik, Rav Noach of Lachachev. Rav Noach, he had a room off the Beis Medrash where he would learn, where he would daven, where, in his Beis Medrash, by his Beis Medrash. And one day he's there after Shacharis and he hears a chassid of his crying and crying, mamish, like loud, wailing tears. And they wouldn't end. So he tells his gavai, bring him in. I have to help him. What's going on? And he brings him in. He says, what's going on? What, my tzaddik, my son, why are you so sad? What's wrong? How could I help you? He says, I want you to know I got to the end of davening. And I started saying the animamims. I started saying the yugimil animam, yugikari emuna, the animamims at the end of davening. It's beautiful to say them. It's some of them to say every day. So he's saying them. And I started crying because I said to myself, maybe I don't really believe. Maybe I don't really believe. Do I know that I really believe? Do I really believe in the Abishur? Do I really believe in what I'm saying? Maybe I don't believe. So I was crying. But then while I'm crying, I thought, no, I know I believe. I believe in the Abishur with a full heart in every way and everything I'm saying. But then I said to myself, if I'm crying, I said to myself, if I really believe, then why do I act the way I do? If I really believe, I should be such a different person. The way I serve the Rabbeinu Shalom should be different. The way I daven should be different. The way I learn Torah should be different. Am I living up to that belief? I do believe. But if I do believe, why am I acting in such a way? And that's why I was crying. And the Rebbe said to him, no, you see, you're looking at it in the wrong way. The animamims are not just a testament of our faith. The animamims are also a tefillah. And we're davening that, yes, we know we believe with our hearts, with our minds, we believe. But we're davening that we should live that belief. And just continue to daven, and you'll start not just believing, but living it in the way that you want to. But what does it mean for each and every one of us, so many of us? We believe. Or do we? Meaning, if we really deeply believe, which I know we do, I know every single one of you believes in the Eibishter, but if we really believed every single moment, we'd allow ourselves to be down, to be upset, to be depressed, to let things linger in our minds and our hearts, that if I really believed, I'd be okay. I'd say, the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world, it's going to be okay. I'm really upset and so down and out because this shidduch didn't work out perfectly because I thought, I believe, Hashem knows, He knows what's best for me, I'm okay, I move on. I'm not saying a little bit to be upset about things, of course, it's normal, we're human. But we'd be okay. We'd get right back up. And whatever else going on in the life. With a Muna to know the Muna of Esther Amalka, the Muna of Ein La'av Ve'eim, the Muna of Chana, that Amuna to really know Hashem runs the world, is taking care of every little thing at every moment, and have no one else to be reliant on, it's a different life. You go through the Purim story, you see, this is exactly as well. Esther Amalka wanted all of Bnei Yisrael to feel that. She knew she was one person. But imagine if all Bnei Yisrael feels all that I'm reliant on the Rabbanu Shalom. The Gemara Megillah Tesfav and Beis says that's exactly why she invited Haman to the party. I mean, we all know this whole story, which is very, it's a little bit strange, some of the parts, right? Think about the first. She goes in Tachashverosh. She's trembling in fear. And he sticks out his golden scepter and saves her life. And what does she request? Ad chatzia malchus. Until half the whole kingdom, he's ready to give up. What does she request? You and Haman should come to a party. Zeu. And then a second party. Like, what was going on there? Why'd she need Haman at the party at all? Just have a sit down. Have a nice meal with her husband, with Achashverosh. And then tell him what's going on. Why do you need Haman there at all? What's going on? Gemara Megillah Tesvav and Beis explains and asks this question, like, why was Haman invited to the party? She wanted, and maybe this is why there had to be two parties as well, it had to take a little bit of a lengthy time. She wanted all the Yidden to have the same mindset that she had. Meaning what? it was possible. They knew she's a Yid. She's one of them. And she was afraid. They're all thinking to themselves, we're going to be okay. Because we'll be reliant on Esther. Esther's going to help us. Esther's going to take care of us. Esther's the queen. So they weren't just being reliant on the Rabbeinu Shalom. They were also being reliant on Esther. The way Chana was reliant on Elkanah. So she invited Haman to the party. This is what the Gemara says. She invited Haman to the party. So they'd say to themselves, forget it. Even if she might be a Yid, but she's lost her way. She's having parties with her enemy who wants to destroy us. All we have left is the Rabbeinu Shalom. She wanted to, she was setting it up, that every single member of Klal Yisrael was davening in the way that she was davening, Ein La'aveim, that I realize I have nothing but Hashem. And when I daven in such a way, Lo Yachzur Chol Tov, all the gula comes. All the gula comes. This is the whole month of Adar. That's the whole simcha of Adar. When you know that Hashem is by your side, you're always besimcha. I'm going to be down and out. Hashem's with me. Adar is Aleph Dar. Dar is to live. Right? I live with Aleph. I live with the Rabbeinu Shalom every moment. So it's also famous. You know, it's very interesting. And you all know this. I don't know how many we know, but we know that the mazel, we know the mazel of Adar, right? Everybody knows the mazel of Adar. What's the mazel? Every month has a mazel. What's a mazel? Mazel is a constellation. That somehow, and this is a very deep idea, but somehow the mazalos, the constellations in the sky, have an effect in our mashpia on the month. So every month has a different mazel, a different constellation. Remember, I spoke about this once in a shir, but close to 2 summers ago, a year and a half ago, I was with the family in Eretz Yisrael, and we went to visit. It was really incredible to mamish niflois haboyre. To see by Mitzpeh Rimon, the Rimon crater. Any of the chevers been by the Rimon crater? It's incredible. It's incredible just to see, and you see all the different colored sands, and the, like mamish things you'll see nowhere else in the world. It's like, that's Eretz Yisrael, it's so beautiful. So, did anyone ever do stargazing there? You did it, it's amazing. So we did this like tour where first we went around, this guy took us in one of these like Indiana Jones Jeeps, you know? Like it's pretty, I don't know how it still works, but it like goes over anything. It looks like from, you know, the mid-1900s, but somehow it like goes over everything and it's incredible and you're sitting like looking at each other in the back, you know? And he takes us all around, this guy, Ayal, he's... And then, as it's getting dark, we set up camp and he like makes a bonfire with some marshmallows and then mamish after Shkia, sunset, and Tesa Kochavim, nightfall, mamish pitch dark, in the middle of like the desert, middle of nowhere, pitch dark. And like the whole Shemayim just opens up in like the most incredible of ways. And you see mamish just sky full of stars, right? A little Coldplay for you. But anyways, Lamaisa, sky full of stars. Like, yeah, I think Chris Martin should go there to understand. It's like mamish, like incredible. Like incredible, like you've never seen, right? And mamish, we saw like shooting stars. Mamish shooting stars. And he's pointing out to us all the mazalos. And you mamish see them. So like we know like the Big Dipper, Shkayach, you know, like that's the one we can find. Like all of them. And each month has a different mazel. Like Tishrei is scales, because obviously we're being judged, right? And if you learn, if you've learned Derech Hashem, you don't, Derech Hashem is based on a lot of Kabbalah, but Lamais, you don't have to go through the Sefer Kabbalah to understand that somehow, even though I'll just say this over, it's not something we fully grasp, but somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the stars, the Kochavim, to be mashpia upon us. Like they're agents of the Rabbeinu Shalom that he brings shefa, brings influence in the world through the stars. The stars affect the world in ways we can't comprehend. It's something very esoteric, very spiritual, but it's something very real. And therefore, the mazel of each month, the constellation that rules over each month, and he explained to us by Ayal, where the mazel of that month is in a specific place in the sky, that's why it rules over that month. It's really incredible. Back in the day, it's stargazers and astronomers, astrologers that were able to tell things from the sky because mamish it's emes. Like Paro's, you know, that was real. Something very real. The shefa of the world comes through the stars. Obviously, shluchim of Hashem. So what's the mazel of Adar? Everyone knows this one, right? What's the mazel of Adar? Dogim. Fish. Pisces. I looked it up before I gave this year just to see exactly. I don't know if they look like fish much. They don't look like fish to me. But basically, it's like these two boxes or like rhombuses, I don't know, chlesnisht, whatever they are, somehow they're supposed to be fish. And they're like attached by this like line, and they're attached. But the fish of Pisces, the fish of Adar, which we have, yeah, right? If you've seen like posters with Adar, you always see fish, right? Adar is fish. So you ever think about what does that mean? Why is Adar fish? So on a simple level, we connect the fish other times in the year. Because we can, you know, the fish, we see this also by you know, Yam Narayim. We do Tashlich by a body of water where there are fish, because fish has no Ayin Hara, because fish are in the water and can't be seen, so the Ayin Hara doesn't rule over them, and fish greatly multiply, and we want to multiply in all different ways. We do understand that, perhaps, and people maybe understand Adar in that context. But the Sefer Mishmeres Kuhuna brings a deeper idea. The fish of Pisces are two fish that are swimming away from each other. It's two fish that are swimming away from each other. What pshat? Why? They're facing away from each other. So he brings down an incredible thing. I never looked this up, but this is what the Mishmeres Kuhuna says. That the nature of fish, if you catch a fish, let's say you catch a very big blue fish, I don't know if it, when it, you go fishing out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the ocean, you get big fish. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I don't know, if you get seasick probably, who knows the place, but people like to do that. So you go out and you catch it. I once went with my wife years ago, we were dating, and we went fishing, it was with a couple of my friends also, and I went, you know, you go on, if you ever gone fishing, we went like by Sheepshead Bay over there, you know, in Brooklyn, you pass by over there, they have all the fishing boats, and they have, no, you get to, you, everyone on the boat gives like $1, and whoever catches the biggest fish, or maybe $2, nothing, like, whoever catches the biggest fish, you win, like, the pot of money, you know? And I did it. MS, I don't think, it was like 25 years ago, I don't think I've gone fishing since. But Lamaisa, with my kids, maybe, like, off the side of a dock somewhere, you know, catch a little goldfish or something. Lamaisa, but I was tied with someone else, I had to split the money. I was tied, but, and then they got it ready for me, my mother cooked up the fish, I remember. I don't really eat fish, but I had to try that one. I caught it myself, you know. Lamaisa, but if you catch a big fish, and listen to this, and there's a fish in the belly of the fish. Let's say you catch a fish, and that fish just consumed another fish. So here's something fascinating. How would you expect the fish in the belly to be? Meaning, which direction? How would you expect? You'd expect it would be the same direction as the fish you caught. Because seemingly, the way we would envision, and we've seen in the movies, and maybe if you watched Finding Nemo back in the day, and the fish like going after each other and trying to catch another fish, so this fish is running away, and you'd say, if you caught it in the belly, it would eat it up, and it would be the same direction, right? So the head of the fish would be by the head of the fish, right? It's not how you find it, he says. You find Pumfaker, completely the opposite. That the fish in the belly, its head is towards the tail. What pshat? Why would it be that way? You'd think it'd be running away. Because the nature of the fish, they never catch a fish from the back. If you catch from the back, it's a sign that my hishtadlus, my effort, because I'm quicker and I'm stronger, I caught you. It's not that way with fish. It's just provided from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Somehow Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it that the other fish is lazy, is lackadaisical, chesnish, I don't know, whatever it was. So the fish is in the belly with the head going towards the tail, meaning it just was provided by Hashem. It was all from above. It wasn't based on my koichi veitim yadi. It wasn't based on my hishtad. So it wasn't based on my effort. And that's the idea of the fish not swimming in the same direction, in opposite directions. Mamash opposite directions. Here it's this way. Opposite directions. But the Abishur provides. Those are the two fish. Those are the two fish of Adar. And therefore the two fish of Adar again is reminding us the nature of fish, which is all just Yad Hashem. Yad Hashem. That's why there's also, one of the reasons, is a minhag to eat fish on Shabbos. Shabbos is all bitachon. Shabbos we don't work. Shabbos we don't put any effort in. It's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all bitachon. And when you have bitachon in Hashem completely, and you have bitachon in Hashem without being reliant on anything else, chesed yisoy v'venu. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides all the gula. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me very special matana in the schus of everybody here. If you take the gematria of bitachon rak b'Hashem,
Bitachon rak b'Hashem. Bitachon rak b'yud kei vav kei. Bitachon rak b'Hashem.
It's 413, exactly, gematria. Yeshua b'yodo. Yeshua b'yodo. The salvation's in his hand. When you have bitachon rak b'Hashem, that's the key to having Yeshua. Yeshua b'yodo is bitachon rak b'Hashem. And that's avoda of Purim. That's avoda. That was Esther, in law of Aim. That was Chana, how we learn how to daven. That's the mazel v'adar dogim. That's what Purim is all about, and that's the Mishnechon v'adar marbim simcha. There's no greater simcha when I believe in that. Well, you know, I don't know how many of you have heard, but Einav Danino. Einav Danino is a tzaddikus of a woman. Her son, Uri Danino, is a hostage, was taken on October 7th from the Nova Festival. Kadosh Baruch Hu should watch over him. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring him back very, very, very soon. And she's around these days. She's been speaking in a lot of places. I don't know if any of you had the chutzpah to hear her speak. But she came on Thursday to DRS and she spoke. And it was it was incredible. First of all, it's just so important for each and every one of us. You know, many of us have had this chutzpah to be in Eretz Yisrael over these last few months. Many of us, when you're there, obviously, you feel what's going on in a much more real way. Obviously, it's a little bit harder for any human being to keep the emotion where it should be. With time, we're all desensitized in life to some degree. And obviously, we're davening every day, and it's on our minds on some level. But when you, it's so important, when you meet people like this who are here, it's just, it takes you back to where you should be emotionally. And just increases the feelings and the davening and everything else. And this woman, Einav, is just a tzaddikus and flowing with this emunah, flowing with this bitachon that we're talking about in incredible ways. She's just speaking about how she wakes up every... Imagine this, right? Her son is a hostage in Gaza. And we have visions of being tortured daily for the past 5 months. And you can't imagine. And every day just yearning for his release. And she says she wakes up every morning and all she does is thank Hashem. Thank Hashem. Todah Hashem lekoshi. For the difficulty even. Understanding this is what Hashem wants. Like, incredible. She said how she went. Eventually, at one point, she wanted to go see, you know, where he was taken from and see his car. And she went to go see his car. And some of us were there where they have all the cars, and I mean, they've been moving them from different places, but she went and she gets to that place. And a lot of people told her not to go, it would be too difficult, it would be too emotional, but she wanted to go. She wanted to go. And she got there and she sees all these cars that are burnt to a crisp, and she's mamish, so just crying, so emotional. And she finally finds Ori's car, and Ori's car is just riddled in bullets, but it's whole. It wasn't burnt to a crisp like many of other cars. And she immediately just starts screaming out in tears, Mizmor Lasoda, to thank Hashem that he was in such a car that was only riddled with bullets, and it could have been in that car and would have been completely just burnt to a crisp. And she says, Mizmor Lasoda. Only Yidden, doesn't it? You know, only Yidden who have such a munah that we can't even understand. She's someone who has it. And she said how one of the talmidim asked her, tell us, how did you build such strength? How did you build such a munah? So she said one story. And she said that when Ori was bar mitzvah, on his bar mitzvah day, she was driving with Ori, and they got into a terrible car accident. And Ori was mamish clinging between death and life, like really serious. And she said, she called out to Hashem, and she said, Hashem, if you save my son, I will never ask why about everything, anything in my life. And he had a miraculous recovery and was totally saved. And she said, how could I ask why? I promised Hashem I wouldn't. I mean, it's just... no words. And she said that she connected in the deepest of ways after she realized, and she hasn't stopped saying, and she had us all say together, Kapitel Chav Zayin Tilim, which starts L'David Hashem, Ori V'Yishi. So obviously she has a deep connection to that. I want to read it together and understand. And she said, she didn't explain it, but she said how after reading through this kapitel, she realized everything she's going through is in this kapitel. And I want to read it to you in a moment, but let me just share another story that I think says so much about this kapitel and what we're talking about tonight and what Einav Danino feels and what we all need to feel. There was a woman in Eretz Yisrael years ago in Yerushalayim, Rachel Auerbach. And one day she's in her little apartment. It's a true story. She hears crying of a baby. And it doesn't go away. It just continues and continues and continues. And eventually she opens up her door to see what's going on. And she finds, you know, it's like Mommy's out of the movies. Like at her door, a little like box with the baby in it. Like someone who had a baby left the baby there. Why her? Why? She didn't know. She took the baby in and took care of her. And she tried, she called the police, called everyone, tried to figure out. And she, a week, 2 weeks go by to no avail. Nobody knew anything about it. Someone who's going through a very difficult hardship, someone's going through a lot, left the baby at her doorstep. She discussed with her husband what they should do. What should they do? Because they knew, they realized if they give the baby to the authorities, so it's a Jewish baby. Eretz Yisrael, and it was clearly a Jewish baby. But if they give the child up, so the child will eventually be adopted, but there's a very strong chance it will go to a Chiloni family, a non-religious family. We will be raised as a non-religious Jew. She thought more of a chance. It was more common that way, and different for a lot of reasons. So her and her husband decided, listen, this was from the Rabbanu Shalom for whatever reason, that they're going to adopt the baby. They're going to take the baby in. They named him David. And David was a very cute, wonderful young boy, but very quickly in school was a big troublemaker, did not do well in school at all, a lot of issues, was defiant. And eventually he had a lot of just emotional issues as well. When he realized how he was adopted and realized that his parents, his mother, left him, he felt very empty, he felt very unwanted, and therefore made a lot of trouble because of it. That's how he, you know, let out his emotions and was not a good student. And through the years, he was always getting in trouble and eventually was asked to leave the yeshiva he was in, the high school he was in. He was eventually kicked out. It was an Elul. They told him, if you get your act together during Elul, we'll let you stay. And he did a little bit, but not enough. And eventually they told him, you have to leave. And they suggested go to one of these other yeshivas that really work with, like, off the derech young boys, you know. And quickly after he was thrown out of the yeshiva, he started to really grow tremendously and get his act together and became a mensch and became a talmid chacham and eventually became marriageable age and got married to a wonderful young woman. It was also family. His family had very little money. They had very little money, but they decided they're going to make it work. And he was paying rent and he was married. He's learning in kollel and he was... His whole life was different. And eventually he told his Rebbe, you know, he thinks he's paying all this rent. He wants to buy the apartment because his rent money, you're just throwing it away. But how is he going to buy the apartment? He needs to be able to have a down payment. And again, this is years ago. The down payment was like $25,000 on this apartment. But he didn't have anything to his name. He says, I'm going to go to America and I'll be back in a week and I'm going to raise the money. And his Rebbe says, how are you going to raise that type of money in a week? Do you know people there? No, don't worry, you'll see. Hashem will help me. And he goes and taka, that's what happens. Within a week he comes back and raises all the money. His Rebbe sits down with him and says, listen, David, you got to explain to me what's happened over the last few years. I know what your youth was like and look how you are now. And now success after success and now even financially, like what's going on? He says, Rebbe, you know about that Elul when I was thrown out of yeshiva years ago? It was my low point in my life. And I didn't know what to do, and I took out Elul, you're supposed to take Kapitel Chav Zayin, L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. So I took down and I looked at the words of L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And I got up to the 10th Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Ki Avi V'Imi Azavuni V'Hashem Yasveni.
Even when my mother and my father abandon me, Hashem will gather me up. And my whole life was a disaster because I had such hard feelings about being left and not knowing who I really was. But then I realized I have a Father in heaven who loves me dearly. Hashem Yazveni. That's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to focus on. And after that, Chesed Yisovivenu. L'davre Shemayir V'yishi. Ein lo aveim, like an Esther Amalka. So Einav Danino told us that how important it is to her that we should say L'davre Shemayir V'yishi in the S'chus of Ori. So I want to just read you, and she said, and explained how it's given her such incredible chizik, seeing everything that's going on now through this kapitel. So I want to just read it to you, and see us ourselves, and maybe something we can take upon ourselves in the S'chus of Ori. Ori ben Einav Efrat. We should be freed, Bekarov, along with all the other hostages, and just complete gula. But Mamish, she's right. I didn't think of it until now, but I went through it over Shabbos. And that's why I'm sharing it, because I was just thinking, I said, I don't know if there's a more important capital that we should be saying these days. Listen to the words of L'David Hashem O'Rev Yishi. L'David Hashem O'Rev Yishi. To David, the following. Hashem is my light. Hashem is my salvation. Hashem is my everything. Mimi Yira, so who should I fear? Hashem ma'oz chayai, Hashem is the strength of my life. Mimi avchad, who should I be afraid of? Right? If we really believe it's all Hashem, I'm going to ever fear, I'm going to ever be afraid. Bekrov alai mireim, when those who want to do evil to me come close to me, le'acholas besari, to devour my skin, my flesh, tsarai va'ovai li, my enemies, my tormentors are upon me, heima kashlu v'nafalo. They will stumble and fall if I have this emuna. Im tachaneh alai machaneh. If an army should come and surround me, lo yir alibi, my heart's not going to be afraid. Im takom alai milchama. If a war rises up against me, bezos ani b'toteach. The following, I'm going to be assured and trust. These words that we all know. But listen to what the, did we ever think about what the introduction was to the following words we're about to read, which we sing all the time, we know. The introduction was, at times of war, at times when an army comes and surrounds me and perhaps takes me hostage and kills my brothers and sisters. Bezos ani botech. You know what I have to trust in? Acha shu'alti meis Hashem. Osav akesh. There's one thing I ask of Hashem, that which I should ask. Shivti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. That I should always dwell in the home of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachzos benom Hashem. To behold the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulevaker beichalo. And to visit his chamber. Meaning the answer has to be that I'm with Hashem every moment. And I want to be with Hashem every moment. Listen to the next words. And it's not meant. Maybe it is. When did this all start? Simchas Torah, right after the end of Sukkot, right? Ki yitz b'tzeini b'tzuko. Ki yitz b'neini b'tzuko. He will hide me in his sukkah. Hashem will take care of it b'yom ra, on a difficult day. Yastireini b'tzeisar alo. And he'll hide me and he'll shelter me in his tent. But Sur Yeromenu, upon a rock he will lift me. Bata Yerum Roshi, my head is lifted up. Beginning of Adra is always Kisisa. Last time we were here, we spoke about Kisisa's Rosh. My head is lifted up. I lift up my head. Al Oivai Sivivoisai, or my enemies that surround me. V'ezbecha Balo Zivche Trua, and I'm going to offer in his tent sacrifices with trumpets. Ashira v'azamra l'Hashem. I know I'm going to sing out to Hashem. Shema Hashem koli ekra. Hashem, listen to my voice when I call. V'chaneni v'aneni. Be compassionate on me. Answer me. L'cha amar libi. To you, my heart says. Bakshu panai. Seek my presence. As panecha Hashem avakesh. It's your face that I want, Hashem. It's all just being with Hashem in the most difficult of times. Al taster panecha mimeni. Don't conceal your face to me. Like we've seen such a concealed Ribbono Shel'Olam for the past 5 months. Like the whole story of Purim. No longer to be concealed. Al tap af avdecha. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Ezrasi ayisi. You have been my help. Al titsheini v'al tazveini. Don't cast me off. Don't leave me. Don't abandon me. Elohei Yishi, you're the God who delivers my salvation. Ki avi v'imi yazvuni, even when my father and my mother have abandoned me, v'Hashem yasveini. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have gathered me. Hareini Hashem Darkecha, Hashem, teach me your way. Unecheini Borech Mishor, and lead me in a path of the uprightness. L'man Shirai, because of my watchers. Al Titneini B'nefesh Sarai, do not deliver me to the desires of my enemies. Ki Kamu V'yedei Sheker, V'feach Hamas. You hear these words? Ki Kamu V'yedei Sheker, because have stood up against me false witnesses. How much sheker is in the world? How much sheker is in the world? Calling genocide, calling ceasefire, calling all the anti-Semitism of the world. Ki kamu b'yei de sheker, v'feach, and they breathe. What is the next word? Hamas. I can't make this up. Open up. You think I'm not reading this? V'feach Hamas. Hamas means violence, but v'feach Hamas. The world is sheker about breathing Hamas. Lule hamanti leros. If I did not believe that I would see b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim, had I not believed, meaning of course I believe, meaning lule hamanti, do I not believe? I of course believe that I'm going to see the good of Hashem b'eretz chayim in the living land, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, and we're going to see b'tuv Hashem. We know it. It's just a matter of when, and we hope it's going to be now. Kavil Hashem, chazak v'yametibecha. V'kavil Hashem. Hoped for Hashem. Strengthen ourselves in hope for Hashem. That's our avodah. Mamash, every word, everything we're going through, it's unbelievable. And how did it end? Chaver, how did it end? I was reminded by this remez by Yedid Nafshi, my Hilga Talmud, Chaver, with Jordan Ginsburg the other day. At the end, after we heard Einav Danino speak, and she spoke about L'dover Hashem or V'yishi. Kavil Hashem. Chazak Mezel, Kavil Hashem. Kavil Hashem, it's twice. Kavil Hashem, Kavil Hashem. Our hope should be only in Hashem. And we're saying tonight, only in Hashem. And nothing else. Kavil Hashem plus Kavil Hashem. Double. Kavil Hashem is 168. But it's times two. It's Kavil Hashem, Kavil Hashem. It says it's twice. 168 plus 168 is exactly 336 Gematria Purim. So the end of this whole entire Mizmar, which is everything that's going on now, L'dover Hashem Uri, for Uri Danino and all the hostages, and everything that's going on now, Im Tachanel Lai Machanem, Takum Lai Milchama, Bezosani Bateach, I'm going to have a moon, I'm going to know, V'Hashem Yasveni, I'm going to know it all. How Kavi Hashem, Kavi Hashem, with the hope, which is Gematria Purim, the Purim Dika Bitachon of Esther Amalka, and in that hope, we're going to be Zoicha, not just to the Geula that we had then, but this is a big Zman of Geula again, Purim, Pesach. And we'll be Zoicha, each and every one of us, to Geula B'Prat, to Geula B'Chlal, along with all of Klai Yisrael, with Geula Shleima, B'Mashiach, B'Mehera, B'Ameinu, B'Karav Mamash.